Hey guys, welcome back to Secret Sauce. I know I've been gone a while. It's been a minute. I needed a moment. Christmas break was a little crazy for me, but I am so happy to be back. And today I am talking with Dana. Say hi, Dana.
Hello.
Now, Dana is a photographer and she also does a lot of cons and cosplay. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have her on because I want us to have kind of like a little conversation about what it is she does, because I know we got a lot of interest in the last cosplay episode we had. And so I thought it'd be great to kind of get Dana on the mic. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So first of all, we have to talk about 2019. Are you excited for this?
I am excited. It's a whole new year and I'd love to see how this year will turn out and bring bigger and better things than what we had in 2018.
Well, girl, I hope so. I hope 2019 is 100% better than 2018. But for 2019, for me, I've just been working on building my business. You guys know that I have a baking business. So 2019, I'm really focused on getting my food out wholesale. And I'm excited to be able to do that. What are your plans for 2019?
2019, I just want to continue branching out more of my photography, getting out there more for the public to see, and just really try to enjoy time with my friends and really get myself more out there.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your photography. You started in corporate photography. I didn't even know that was a thing. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. A lot of corporations will have photographers to photograph events and various meetings and things that they want to capture. A lot of those pictures may stay internal for marketing, internal marketing and publishing, but a lot of times they will use photos for external marketing, especially if it's community service related. So for the corporations that work through my full-time job, I will capture a lot of community service events for them that they are sponsors or involved with. Everything from the Atlanta AIDS Walk to Chattahoochee Nature Center cleanup to various other nonprofit and community activities, and of course things that they want to photograph internally for them to use within the company itself. But yes, they definitely have they'll usually try to have photographers internally, but if they don't have but a lot of times they will hire from external photographers to come in and photograph for them also.
Okay. So were you already a photographer, or was photography just a passion of yours?
Photography was more of a passion of mine. I actually started photography a little different than most photographers. My grandfather actually got me into photography. He was a photographer. He photographed for the military, and he gave me my first camera. And the only instruction he gave me with it was to capture the moment, because those moments will become memories for those that are there and experiences for those that aren't there. And I kind of just lived by that when I took pictures. And my passion for taking pictures, of course, usually somebody at work will find out I take pictures, ask if I could take pictures for something within the company, and it kind of grows from there.
Well, that's really good, though. That's impressive that you were able to build that. So is that like that became your permanent job?
No, not really. I can say it more got ingrained into my actual job. Okay. It's just one of those that when I start with a company, they are not quite aware of it. Mm-hmm. But then once they start seeing me taking pictures for various things, then they it kind of grows from there, and it becomes more ingrained into my job that it becomes literally a part of it, that I'm taking pictures for this event or for this group or for this community service event. So I like it because of the fact that it changes things up, that no day is quite the same. I have my regular duties, but then I also can do some photography in between.
Okay. So, my question is, when you started photography, did you do people? Did you do shapes? And then I imagine that grew into doing groups of people and activities. Is that right?
More for me, when I started taking pictures, it was just for, a lot of times it was for family events, like birthdays, capturing Christmas. And then outside of family events, it was whenever I travel somewhere, I'm really fascinated in the history and the culture of a place. So I like to capture a lot of the history, the architecture, and things of that particular city or country that I'm visiting. And that's basically where I basically got my start in. And it just kind of grew from there.
Okay, so you're in corporate photography, and then how did that translate to starting to get into cons?
It actually started 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. One of my executives that I support at my corporate job was providing me stretch goals for the upcoming year, and one of the stretch goals he gave me, because he knew of my photography and the demand of people wanting me to photograph in the corporate world, he gave me the stretch goal to apply to become a con photographer for upcoming con. Okay. He felt that by doing that, that will expand my experience, but also give me a new feel and touch to my photographs by taking pictures in a different environment. So when he gave that to me, I was like, you know, I'm looking at these pictures from these professional photographers, these photographers that are actually went to school and was trained to do this. And I was a little hesitant at first. And of course, he truly believed in me, told me to shoot for it. So I built my portfolio, applied for upcoming con that he suggested, which is called MomoCon, a convention here in Atlanta. And I applied for it, and they came back and told me I was part of the staff. Oh. And from there, it grew from MomoCon, and then I got referred to Anime Week in Atlanta and started photographing with them, and it just continued to grow and grow to more and more conventions that I started photographing with.
Okay, so tell me about your very first experience with MomoCon, because that had to be surreal.
It really was. It is a pretty large size con. It's not the largest one for Georgia, but it is a pretty large size convention. Mm-hmm. And getting there and just trying to absorb everything that's going on there, all the things that I needed to do. But the great part of the con photography world, that for the conventions I've been a part of, they have this own little family, and they brought me under their wings and gave me guidance. And the very first person that I got connected with was Andrew Michael Phillips, a phenomenal professional photographer here in the Georgia market. A lot of cosplayers and corporate photography and everything else. And I ended up being connected with him, and he was giving me guidance throughout the whole entire time, which instantly started making him become my mentor. So I constantly refer to him as my mentor, and he continued to give me that guidance and help me understand the difference between con photography versus corporate photography, because corporate photography, it tends to be more, regimen when there are meetings and stuff. There's not a lot of action and stuff going on, and except for when you have something out in the community. But in the con world, you have so many elements going, from panels to they want pictures of people on the floor, just their natural reactions and just seeing them out and about on the floors, playing video games, to hanging out outside. And then, you know, even group photos they want you to do, and backdrop photos. So it really gave me such a wide range of photography that I typically have not done in a corporate environment.
Yeah, so that.
It ended up being a great experience for me to learn, but at the same time, I got brought into this big, beautiful world with so many elements and things that you're constantly learning, not only as a photographer, but also if you are into different fandoms, whether it's anime, comics, or TV shows or such. You start learning more about those and things from these conventions being there. And it just really, it definitely takes, it ups your ante on your abilities and your knowledge by being involved and diving into such a world.
Yeah, but I also think that it has to have a lot of creativity there too. Like when you go to a con and all the people in their costumes and
It definitely does. And because it's so much creativeness in such an environment with people, whether they made it themselves or contracted somebody through a commission to make it for them, it's, you see these people turning these characters from comics and cartoons into real life costumes and being these characters. And it really, for me, I'm a creative person already, and I feed off of the energy of another person. So being in that environment, it got me more into the photography of that world, because I'm seeing this creativeness with these different people. And then it really, like I said, dives you into your knowledge, because you also have to understand the character that you're seeing. And even if you don't know who it is, knowing how to approach that person to understand that character so you can bring out the best in that picture when you take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. So, all right. So first year you were kind of like in awe of everything, right? That you were a part of it. Like the first year, I understand that. So the next couple of years, what was it like for you? Were you like trying to figure out how else you can be a part of the con, or did the con start to ask you to be more of a part of their conventions themselves? Like, how did you become more ingrained in the cons as the years went on?
It just ended up happening because after being involved with my first con, the people I worked with at that con would then recommend me to another convention, saying, hey, you know, her shots that she was taking, you really need to take a look at her. And then they'll come to me and it's like, yeah, you need to look at, you know, being part of this convention. And that's mainly how I got started really getting connected to more conventions, from, like I said, MomoCon, Anime Week in Atlanta. Just most recently this past year in 2018, I photographed Dragon Con for the first time in DreamHack Atlanta, which DreamHack is a gaming convention, and have a lot of gaming competitions at that convention. So it really allowed me to open some doors to worlds that I probably would have never been connected to until I took that first step. And then they really saw the eye I have for photography, and continue to connect me to more conventions to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So MomoCon was the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then name the other ones that you've been a part of.
It's been MomoCon. Well, I'll call MomoCon my first official one.
Mm-hmm.
My unofficial first one, actually, I will say, would the Wizard World Comic-Con. That one, and I was supposed to just be an attendee for that convention, and the artists that were there in Artist Alley told some of the staff members that I was taking pictures and I was getting some great shots and to talk with me because they needed some photographers. And I ended up becoming ingrained with that one, as I would call that technically my first convention, but MomoCon was my real first convention that I got brought in from the start as a staff photographer. Then after, like, along with that was Anime Week in Atlanta. I photographed for Japan Fest here in Atlanta also. Also photographed for Dragon Con. For the Atlanta Sci-Fi convention that is at North DeKalb Mall, which is coming up this March for this year. And along with DreamHack, Atlanta, and also for BlurCon in DC. So those are the conventions I've taken pictures for over the last 3 years.
So which one is your favorite?
Ooh, that's like picking your favorite child.
Okay. All right, give me your top three. How about that?
Okay. Because I want to say each convention has their own special aspect to it, which makes them so wonderful. I will definitely say MomoCon as my first one, because it just has that special place in my heart. The second one would definitely be Anime Week in Atlanta, or better known as AWA. And the third one, I will right now, I'll place that as BlurCon, as my third favorite con to be a part of.
BlurCon. Okay. That one sounds like fun.
Oh, yes. BlurCon is, like I said, it's up in D.C. It is the, as far as attendees, being the most diverse in having people of color and things. Most of the conventions that most people go to, there is, you know, there are people of color that are attendees, but we tend to be the minority of the attendees. And BlurCon is one of the conventions that we are more of the majority of the attendees. And it just gives you that family reunion kind of feel, seeing so many people that you either know from online or cosplayers you follow online, and just having that family reunion feel when you go to it.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I've never been to a con, so I will love
to. Well, we have to bring you with us one for one of these upcoming ones. There's plenty we can bring you to.
I know. In Atlanta, there's a ton of them, and I need to go just to see, because I'm fascinated by the costume aspect of it all. And also, you're a big fan of anime.
I am.
So we'll have to talk a little bit about anime before we get off the line here. But yeah, I would like to go to a con. I'm just not sure what to look for, what to do, how to enjoy myself, where to go. I went to, like, I walked into a con, but I wasn't sure where to go. And I don't really consider that my first con experience, because I was in and out and confused the entire time.
Got you. It was huge. Well, anyone that's going to a convention for the first time, my recommendation to them is definitely look into the conventions that's in the area and see which one will provide you with what you're looking for. If you're more into anime, then look for the conventions that tend to circle around more anime. So like Anime Week in Atlanta, here in Atlanta, that encompasses more of the anime world. You do have gaming and everything else, but it's more geared to the Japanese animation. So if you're into that world, that particular convention will be right up your alley. If you're more into, you know, you like a little comics, you like a little bit, you do like anime, but you like cartoons too, and you like gaming, a little bit of gaming, then something like MomoCon, which is kind of a general thing and very family oriented, will be up your alley. And then, of course, if you like those aspects, but you want to be surrounded more around adults, DragonCon, you know, DragonCon is like, you know, the college version of MomoCon. It's like, you know, you have kids that do go there, but it's primarily for the adults there. So you just have to find what your niche, what the things you like. The conventions always post what the schedules and who they're having, from guest speakers to panelists and things like that. Look for the things that you're looking for, like some people that are into cosplay or looking to get into it. A lot of the conventions will list the different panels on cosplay, and you attend to learn from these people, whether it's to make your own, how to get into cosplay, or those, any of those aspects that you desire, and just find that niche that you're interested in. A lot of conventions even have cooking classes or cooking demonstrations that you can go to. I will say one of my favorite as far as cooking demonstrations from Japan Fest. They actually brought the first woman that has the title of Candy Master, brought her from Japan. Her actual name is Candy. And she actually was demonstrating making candy from this hot concoction that she has been so trained to make all this, and was making candy that looked just like the people in the audience, and then pulled them up to kind of do a side-by-side comparison and making all this beautiful candy from her years of training. And at the conventions, you can even do like learning how to make a bento box and things like that.
So there's really a convention for everyone.
Exactly. It's just about finding your niche. Know what you like. A lot of people want to go for the fun aspect, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much unless you're with a group of people that you know you're going to have fun with and you don't get separated from them. But outside of that, you just want to find your niche so you can find things that you're interested in, whether it's meeting voice actors of characters people you've always wanted to meet. I mean, the crazy part of being a con photographer is lesson one, they tell you can't fangirl. Basically, you can't react to some of the people you meet. You have to keep this professionalism, which is a benefit of being in corporate photography because of the fact that you have to keep this corporate persona when you're taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So I was already adapted to that. But then meeting some of the people that you looked up to or you admired growing up, it's you're screaming like a little girl or a little boy right inside of you meeting these people, but you have to keep this professional look on your face, experience.
Yeah, you gotta stop right there. Who have you met? And who made you fangirl on the inside?
The very first one, I have to always give my first fangirl experience, is when I was working with Wizard World Comic-Con, and initially the cast from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were scheduled to be there, and they got sent back to California for early filming, and they were looking for someone to photograph this replacement guest, and they were trying to get someone, and I went ahead and said, I'll be happy to take some pictures. And then the gentleman, he takes me back to introduce me to my guest, and that guest was Mr. Stan Lee. And
wow, that's a hell of a replacement, buddy.
Exactly. And that being my very first guest to ever photograph, the inside of me was screaming like a little girl, because it's like, this is the man that has brought so many comics and characters to us. And he was the sweetest man. He nicknamed me Sunshine the whole weekend, and I was really debating on changing my name because of that. But he was the sweetest man to work with, and he introduced me to so many people that were there from both DC and Marvel that was there, and and some of the other people that were there. So while I was there, you know, meeting the gentleman that worked with and is behind the creation of Misty Knight and Silver Surfer, then also meeting, you know, Mr. James Marsters, while I was there. Well, most people know him as Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV series.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
He's another sweetheart. He was so sweet. He, with his strong British accent, and he was just a sweetheart. I've got to meet him, and I have a picture with him and Mr. Stan Lee, and also got to meet the cast of Boondock Saints, who were totally awesome to meet. I would say my second big fangirl moment was actually photographing Miss Cree Summer.
Oh, wow. Oh, you got some good ones.
Yes, she was a guest at MomoCon in 2016. She totally kick-ass black woman power right there. Most people don't know the range of this woman, that she actually started in voice acting before she even became an actor. Her very first character, which all of us that are 80s, 70s and 80s born kids know her as her first character as Penny from Inspector Gadget. She's the voice of Penny.
I didn't know that.
And over the years, she has done from the voice of the green M&M on the M&M commercials to Princess Kiara from Atlantis and so much more. So she was such a cool person to me. Very laid back and chill. Loved working and talking with her and taking her pictures. So she was definitely another fangirl moment for me. It was, that one, Stan Lee and her were my two that was the hardest to try to keep it together.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that. That's amazing. But, so you've probably seen a lot of stars in your time.
I have, everywhere from, you know, voice actors, to artists that are behind making the characters, and so much more. I mean, I've met, you know, and, you know, the person behind making Darkwing Duck, drawing him, and Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Mm-hmm. And I actually did, if you have those moments, I tell people when you're at these conventions, most people tend to not go down Artist Alley. That's where you find all your artists, both local and from comics and so much more. Go down those aisles because you have the opportunity to meet those people and you can commission them. And I did. I had the gentleman behind Darkwing Duck and all that. I commissioned him to draw me Chippendale and draw me a couple of things. I had the artist behind the Disney anime of Lilo and Stitch. I had him had me draw Lilo and Stitch. I had the artist behind He-Man and She-Ra to draw me She-Ra. It's like, you have those opportunities if you take the time to go down there, talk to them, find out how much it would be for them to draw it for you, and they will draw it for you.
That's amazing, Dana. You've really met some fantastic people.
I have. And I've enjoyed every moment of it.
I would absolutely. I thought you were going to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? That's my favorite show.
Yeah.
And so I was already fangirling, but then you said Stan Lee and I would have lost it. So Is that the first time you met Stan Lee, or?
Yes, that was my very first time meeting him on my very first assignment.
Okay. So did you take your picture then?
Yes.
Okay. So then you took a picture of him, and then you took a picture with him.
Yes. And the picture cool. with him, I took pictures of him on panel and also autographing whenever he has the autograph lines with his fans. And at the end of the convention, he actually had someone come and find me and brought me to him. And he let me know we hadn't taken a picture together. And
I was stunned
by it. And he asked the photographer that takes all the pose pictures for the conventions to take a picture of the two of us. And that's how I got my picture with him. And it's one of my favorite pictures. He's just smiling in the picture. And everybody who sees that picture said, you could tell he was so happy to take a picture with you. And after we took the picture, he had it printed into an 8x10. And it was given to me. And he autographed the picture. And they sent me the digital copy of the picture, too. So I literally have an autographed picture of me and Stan Lee together. And he also gave me this poster that was done of him, and he had the artist to autograph it, and he autographed it too. So that was really special to me that he get. I was able to get something like that from him.
He just went out of his way for you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and this just shows how sweet and how nice of a man he was. Right. That he even though. I'm this little peon just taking pictures. He recognized me being there and would chit chat and ask me if there's something I always wanted to ask him. And it's like, you know, just having conversations with me and everything. And I would have never thought in a million years I would have been standing side by side with Stan Lee having conversations with him at a convention.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. It's kind of like the stories that you hear about Stan Lee. What a great guy mm-hmm. he just was.
He is. He is. Yeah.
So that's beautiful. So, okay. So you're a photographer for the con.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then how did you get into speaking at cons?
The speaking at cons, it branched from the cosplayers that I photograph, a lot of the cosplayers I photograph is also panelists. And one of the cosplayers, also the founder behind the movement Cosplay Your Way, Bar Fox Cosplay, I actually originally met him at MomoCon. And then with working with me and everything else, he actually asked for me to be part of a panel for at BlurCon. Mm-hmm. So that was my very first panel. And he wanted me to speak on being a female black photographer in the convention world because a lot of the photographers in the con world are primarily male, but they tend to be more white male. You do have POC male cosplayers, which is the second in the amount of photographers, but there's very few female black photographers that are in the con photography world, both as just cosplay photographers, but also convention photographers also. So they wanted me to kind of talk about my experience and my viewpoint as being a black woman in that world, how that was. So it went really well. I was nervous because I'm so used to being behind the camera and being behind the scenes because I event plan as part of my full-time job. So I'm used to being behind the scenes. So this was something that put me in front of the scenes. Mm-hmm. And but it went really well. And then after that, people, my fellow cosplayers that I've gotten to know in the con world will ask me to be part or be on panels or assist with various panels. So that's how I kind of got pulled into that.
And how do you like it?
I'm still getting used to doing the panel thing. But the aspect of talking and really giving people the information that they may be looking for, and I also being on a panel with people that I know, I think that helped me become comfortable, even though I was nervous, and I still tend to be nervous when I have to do things like that. But being surrounded by people that I do know and supporting me, it helped me to be more comfortable in that environment. And yeah, I just kind of just enjoy the moment and just go with the moment.
Okay. So tell me something that you feel like you've learned as a photographer and what you would recommend to someone else does as they begin their journey in photography.
I'm looking for some advice what from you. I've learned as being a photographer is basically the biggest thing was from my grandfather. From so many people told me my eye for photography, even though I am not classically trained, you can't train an eye. And it's basically you just have to continue to photograph, take the moments to be able to photograph any and everything that you have opportunity, whether it's going out and taking pictures of nature. If you're at a concert that you can take pictures, that's in a park, take pictures of that, because you're learning to photograph in different environments, different lighting. Because a lot of people get used to always using their flash. Well, there's a lot of environments you can't use flash, and you have to really know your camera and adapt to your camera and that environment. And that allows you to really stretch and grow yourself. So take those opportunities to do that. Along with, in today's world, YouTube has become such a learning place to go to, that you can watch so many videos to learn. If you're in the Atlanta market, there are a lot of places you can actually go to take classes to learn about photography. If you have the time to be able to go and take to be able to do that. One great place to go to is Atlanta School of Photography. My mentor is one of the teachers that teach there. Mm-hmm. So it is a great place to learn more about your camera, learn how to do studio photography, to learn how to take pictures in various environments, to learn your camera and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities to really learn the craft more and to hone your skills and learn what you enjoy about it.
Okay. Sounds like great advice to me. So before we move on, we've got to talk about anime. Mm-hmm. Now, I tried to get into anime. And I feel like I'm pretty smart. Right. But reading the screen and watching what's happening at the same time is tough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about anime before because you've given me some recommendations.
Yes.
But you're an old school anime person.
Yes.
So you rather read than listen to the English voice. And why is that?
It kind of started, anybody who watched anime in the 80s and early 90s. Unfortunately, in those years, the translation for anime was not the best. And they had very few voice actors that voice characters. So a lot of times you'll have this voice actor for a particular character, and it just doesn't fit the character, and you're trying to follow the script of what the storyline is, and you watch it in the what you call dubbed, which is English dubbed. And then when someone introduced you to sub, which basically means it's in Japanese with English subtitles, then you start realizing, whoa, this whole story is totally different than the English dub. They literally rewrote the story. So if people that like Sailor Moon, you will find out the older Sailor Moon from back then, the storyline is completely different from the English dub versus the Japanese original animation. So that's when a lot of people who started into anime way back then stop watching as many dubs and focus more on subs. Will say for anybody who wants to get in subs, you know, any stories that isn't really high action, it will be easier probably for you to follow, to be able to watch and train your eyes to read at the same time. And then once you get more comfortable into subs, then graduate into more action stuff to be able to follow it a little bit better. Now, as time has gone on, dubs have become much better to watch. But for those like myself who had, it took, you know, a good 20 years before we got decent dubs, that we just gotten used to and we prefer watching subs. I will watch some dubs, but I literally have to see how the dub is before I'll even, and then I'll see if I want to watch the whole entire thing in dub, but mainly it's in sub.
All right, so what is your favorite anime?
Ooh. I would honestly say, I wouldn't say I have an all-time favorite. I can say generation of anime will have those that were favorites at that time frame. You know, for the older animes, it literally was a classmate of mine got me into anime back in the early 80s, and introduced me to that world. And, you know, I got into watching a lot of the older animes from that. And but series that ended up becoming dear to me as far as the older ones, as I'll consider like the Yu Yu Hakusho, or the for the earlier kind of generation anime. And then, you know, as you get older into the newer stuff, I've liked everything, you know, from Samurai Champloo to Samurai 7 to Skip Beat, which is totally kick-ass anime. Don't let the cover fool you. It is not what you think it is when you see the cover of the anime. That I like to tell people, both guys and women enjoy that particular one. And there's so much more. So for people that are trying to get into it, just think of it as movies or TV series that you're into. Find the genre you like. Anime has the same in genres that you have in regular TV and movies, and just find the genre you really like and start watching there. And of course, find people that is into it to give you good recommendations, because I've graduated several of my friends that was not in the world of anime, and they're into it now, and they literally will message me, say, oh, did you hear such and such is coming out on DVD? Yes, I have.
So your recommendation is, don't just go into an anime willy-nilly. Find something that you like, like horror, or I don't know, comedy, and then find anime that you like out of that.
Exactly, because a lot of people get turned off or not interested in it because a lot of people think of anime as being Pokemon or Digimon, which is geared to the kids. But you got to realize there's such a range that, yeah, you have your horror fit, you know, anime that you can go and watch, like School Days. But you also have your thrillers, that you can watch. You have suspense, you have rom-coms, you know, romantic comedies, you have your love stories, and so much more. So you really find the niche. Or a lot of times I ask people, like, okay, what TV series or movies you're into right now? What are your favorites? And once they give me that, then I can give them comparisons to anime that are similar in style. So it's like, okay, you like rom-coms. Okay, then you probably will like Skip Beat or Maid Sama, or you'll like, you know, and kind of give them those kind of recommendations for them to check out and all. So it's just based on knowing what you like normally. And then all animation is just a animated version of an actual TV series. Just see, like, turning regular people into animated versions of themselves, and you have a whole storyline, a plot, everything else that you would experience in a regular TV series or movie.
So that's why you recommended Do Rah Rah to me.
Exactly. Because since you're kind of, you gave me the recommendation, you told me, like, you like heroes, and such. So that's why I recommended Do Rah Rah, because that particular series are these people trying to live regular lives that have powers, just like it is in Heroes. And then there's occasions that the powers have to end up coming out because of scenarios. And then, of course, you have someone that is using their powers to murder and do all these bad things. And they're trying to figure out who this person is. So that gave me that tie. That it's like, okay, if you're into heroes and you're hearing the similarities for this anime that is similar to Heroes, then it's like, okay, this will be something I'll be into. So it gave that help, gives that parallel for people to be able to find what is their niche.
Got it. Okay. So now, before we end the podcast, you know, I got to do my Black woman shout out. Have you had time to think about it? Do you need a moment still?
Yes. You know, a Black woman shout out. I would actually like to give, you know, fortunately, she is not on this earth currently, but to my great aunt Emma, better known as Mayor Emma Gresham. She was the first Black mayor for Keysville, Georgia. She actually pioneered for civil rights and had made an appearance at the White House to speak during her time as mayor. And she literally brought this town that was segregated, unified it, and brought it, modernized it, and so much more. Unfortunately, she passed away last year, but I would definitely like to give a shout out to her because her legacy is still living on and the impact she's made in that city and within our family has continued to grow.
That's a great one. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that one. For me, I'm going to make mine a little bit generic, but there's a message. There's a method behind my madness. So, for me, I just want to shout out all my friends that are single and their mamas, and they're killing the game because they're the ones that can stretch a dollar. They're the ones that are able to keep themselves mentally intact when they feel like they're going nuts on the inside. They're the ones that usually have to do all of this without any support. Or if they do have support, it's a lack of support. It's not as much support as they need. And I just want to send a shout out to all of you because I love y'all. And I feel like if there's no one else that will look out for you, we will, as Black women. And shout out to all of you guys for making it happen even when you didn't think you could. that's what I have to say to single black women. So, but thank you, Dana, for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me once again.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, and I've learned a lot about cons from you in anime. I'm gonna give Durarara a chance. I'm gonna give it an entire season, Dana.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it an entire season because I have tried anime and been bored out of my mind, and then I've looked at some anime and been like, I don't give a shit about any of this. Yes. So Durarara might be up my alley because it sounds like it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely do that one. And then, like I said, if you have the chance, look for Skip Beat. That one is kind of like my generic recommendation to anyone that is like to laugh. But then if you ever had your heart broken and someone abused and used you, that anime is for you.
Well, isn't that every woman?
Exactly. And every man also can relate to some of the stuff in that too. And once you watch it, you'll relate to the main character, like, ooh, I thought about doing something like that, but I told myself not to do it. But she's doing it.
Is Skippy one word or two?
It's two words.
Got it.
So definitely check that one out. You will laugh, you will relate, and everything else. So I would definitely say those two will probably be good starter animes for you.
Now, so everybody knows, if you're joining me to watch Durarara, that's on Netflix. And I think we saw both seasons on Netflix.
That is correct. Season 1 and 2 are on Netflix that you can watch. That on there. If you don't have Netflix, I'm trying to see who else may have the TV series available outside of that. So Hulu also has it. Okay. That you can be able to watch it on Hulu. Okay. So that if you have Hulu or Netflix, you can watch Durarara on either one of those. For Skippy, the recommendation I just gave earlier, if you're interested in that one, that particular series you can find on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll is, they do have a free subscription for you to be able to watch it on there. And sometimes you can find people have episodes on YouTube, but I'm not sure how good those are, but you definitely can find it on Crunchyroll for Skip Beat to watch that one.
Well, all right. And before we go, I just want to say thanks for everybody for hanging in there and looking out for the show. We're back. I'm probably going to be putting out episodes once a month from the looks of it. So just keep an eye out for that. Also, be sure to hit up our network at mtrnetwork.net. Check out Super Tuesday. That's my favorite one on our network. Well, of course, besides my own, of course. Super Tuesday with Supergirl with the Ladies has been excellent. And I'd say catch up on that show for sure. If you have any questions, hit me up. You guys got my information. If there's anything else, is there anything else you wanted to say, Dana?
Just for me, if you are into cosplay right now, because of the month of February, is the 28 Days of Black Cosplay. Mm-hmm. Right now, we actually, I am one of the photographers that was involved in this particular project for this year's 28 Days of Cosplay. So if you're on social media, I am listed as Danique, DANIQU. Events, EVENTS, both on Facebook and Instagram. You can see the pictures we're releasing each day, celebrating different black cosplayers here in the Atlanta market. So that way you can see some of these awesome black cosplayers that are out there and learn more about them. And for that, and definitely if you're into the conventions, I look forward to seeing some of you at the upcoming conventions. You'll see me probably running around taking pictures, or you may see me doing some group pictures or anything. If you spot me, say hello.
Yeah, and if you're in the MTR network group, I've already been sharing the 28 Days of Cosplay that Dana has been posting, and I'm going to continue to share it for the full month of February. You know, got to get our Black History Month information out there. The one for today was really good about comic books. for a comic book character. That was a really good one. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yes. And you'll see more as we're releasing. You'll see both movie characters, comic characters, anime characters, and so much more. So be on the lookout for all of these cosplayers that we're going to be sharing their cosplays. A lot of them make their own. Some of them commission people to make their costumes. So definitely be on the lookout for some of these great, awesome cosplayers. And a special shout out to Cosplay Your Way that is behind this initiative for the Black cosplayers here in Atlanta. Basically, Cosplay Your Way is telling people that to cosplay your way, you don't have to look like the character to cosplay as them. You don't have to be the exact, you can be Supergirl even though you're Black. You can make your own twist to it. Make that cosplay your own. And that is the whole theme behind Cosplay Your Way. So, and it's big in the con world to try to help people be comfortable in their skin to cosplay.
So you're saying you don't need to go in blackface?
No, you don't. You don't. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
And the same for us. So many of us feel that because there's not a lot of Black characters out there that we can't cosplay as these characters. And I've one of the characters I love that I photographed earlier this month that was released. This beautiful cosplayer, she cosplayed as Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. Vegeta is a male character with Black pointy hair, and she rocked her Afro puff and killed that picture as Vegeta. So you don't have to look exactly like a character. You don't have to be a size 2. And you can be as curvy and voluptuous and make those characters your own.
Well, you know what? Let's make Vegeta our picture for you.
Okay, awesome.
You got a picture of Vegeta? Let's do that.
That'll okay.
Give us a good idea of exactly your skills, and I want to see her picture too. I think everybody will be excited to see her as well.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. So just to be clear, is Danique Events? So that's DANIQUEEVENTS. Is that right?
That is correct. Two separate words, and you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook.
Gotcha. And I'll put all that in the show notes as well, guys. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support means everything to us. If you have feedback, something you want to discuss, or you own a business you like to promote, please contact us at bwsbusiness@mtrnetwork.net. Remember, you are beautiful, you're brilliant, and you're bad as fuck. Support another Black woman today. Bye.